Show number 282 for Sunday, July 15th, 2008. It's Father's Day. And I'm Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, here with E.
Who's a father?
Yes, you are. So, so
it's my day.
It's your day. So you want to leave now so you can take the rest of the day off?
No, we'll finish this. Then I'm going to go have a few drinks and fire up the barbecue.
Cool. I want to thank you for downloading this show. This is the longest podcast in running podcast in Microsoft history.
It is.
As far as I know. I'm sure someone will correct me, but as far as I know, it is.
So we're just going to make facts up and say, you know, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
It is the longest running podcast in Microsoft history with us on it.
All right. So there you go. He has once again provided the clarity that he can provide when he comes to the show. Now, we've got lots of news this week. We've got a great review. I've got Chris Kramer, who's a good friend of mine from Capcom. He's going to come by and talk to us a little bit about what he's got going on with Capcom and tease a little bit about what maybe they'll announce at E3 or maybe not.
He's very alliterative.
Very illiterate.
Chris Kramer from Capcom.
Well, it's C with a C and then a K, so it's not right.
No.
From Capcom, but then a CKC. So, Chris will be on the show, and then E's going to join us.
Or I could just be here right now. What the heck?
Yeah, what the heck? So, also, later on in the show, I am going to tell you how we've been talking over the past few weeks about the Deadliest Catch game, which is going to be in stores this week. I am going to tell you, if you're in the Seattle area, how you can meet Sig and Edgar from The Deadliest Catch.
Which is very cool.
So we're going to tell you about that later on the show. But first, we're going to run down what we have going on for news. E, what do we have for news this week? You're usually responsible for keeping us honest in the news department.
Which is really kind of depressing when you think about it.
Well,
but
yeah.
I have actually gathered some news.
You have gathered some news. What do you got for headlines?
We have all sorts of things.
We'll talk about what we played later on, but go ahead and tell me what you got.
We have May NPDs are out.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got... I'll just dive into the May NPDs. Why not? So for the month of May at the U.S. retail locations that NPD monitors,
mm-hmm.
Here's what sales were. Surprise, surprise, the Nintendo Wii is on top. Down 5.5%, but they still sold 675,000 Wiis.
Good for them.
Not bad. DS is up.
Do you think a Wii Fit provided some lift there?
Well, actually, percentage-wise, it was down. So maybe that was because there weren't many Wii Fits to go around.
Right, who knows?
I don't know many people who actually were able to find them.
Did you find one?
So, I did not.
I didn't find one either. It's funny because you and I went to that GameStop this week. Right down the street here, and they had that display, and I was like, wow, look at all the Wii Fits, and they're all empty boxes.
Right. I get the impression basically no one has them in stock at this point.
Right.
So, DS continues to move along, up 9% on the month.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure why. I'm trying to think of what the big DS releases were last month during May. Nothing is jumping out, but...
Guitar Hero's coming out with that.
452,000. Guitar Hero on tour is coming out pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's another game that I'm really looking forward to on the DS, but we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
PS3, up 11.5%, 208,000 sold.
Cool.
PSP, down 5%, 182,000.
Mm-hmm.
These are actually slightly out of order. Xbox 360 down 0.7%, 186,000 sold.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
that's hardware.
That's hardware.
I'm sorry, did you say PS2? I didn't...
PS2, 132,000 sold, up 8%.
So,
it's... Or 6%.
So what about software sales?
Software sales for the month of May, according to NPD, and this is actually going to answer one of the questions we just had a minute ago.
Right.
So, number one, GTA 4 on Xbox 360, 871,000 copies sold.
They're still going.
They're still moving. Still moving. And the PS3 version of that we'll get to in a minute.
Okay.
Number two in the U.S., Mario Kart for the Wii.
Are these stack ranked? Because I know the other list wasn't. You said it was out of order.
These are... yes, these are in order.
Okay.
So, number two,
mm-hmm.
and actually, by the way, the fact that I was going number one, number two, might have been a clue to the stack.
You think it was, but you never know.
Okay, worth checking.
Okay.
So, number two, Mario Kart for the Wii, mm-hmm. 787,000 copies sold. Number three.
Can you play that with Wii Fit?
You know, I haven't tried it. Considering that I've played Halo with the guitar, you'd think I would have tried Mario with Wii Fit.
But you said you didn't have a Wii Fit yet, so.
Well, but I know a couple people who do.
Okay.
So I, There's actually one at my house.
Post
right
in
now.
The comments. Don't email us if you can do that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There is a YouTube video of me playing Halo 2 with a guitar.
Who posted that?
Someone random who was at the house. KP and I were playing on the big screen.
Right.
It didn't work very well, but we did play.
If you can go ahead and add that to E's Wikipedia page, that'd be great.
Oh,
next.
God.
Okay.
I should not have mentioned that I didn't have a Wikipedia page the other day.
Now you have one.
Now I do.
Congratulations. Welcome to the internet.
Yeah, thank you. So number three, Wii Fit with the balance board. 687,000 copies.
So they're selling. We just can't find them.
Exactly. That's probably exactly how many copies they ship, just about. Number four, GTA 4 on the PS3.
Cool.
442,000 copies sold.
I'm sorry. I had a little cough in my throat and I was leaning away from the microphone.
Okay. It was a little dramatic there.
Yeah.
Number five, Wii Play, also known as the second remote for your Wii.
Right.
294,000.
Right.
Super Smash Brothers for the Wii, 171,000. I'm a little puzzled by this next one. Iron Man for the PS2. Number seven in May in the United States, Iron Man for the PS2, 130,000 copies sold.
Did you play that game? Because I played a little bit of it.
I have not played it. I'm confused that... Number one, I'm a little surprised Iron Man made the top 10 at all.
Okay.
Although it was a great movie,
yep.
So there's going to be some effect that's going to drag the game along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if a version of Iron Man was going to make the top 10, I would not have guessed the PS2 version. Now, I'm guessing that's just the install base is so massive.
Yeah, that 120+ million.
Yeah, but I'm still, that's bizarre. When was the last time a PS2 game made the top 10?
You're going to tell me, aren't you?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
No.
Okay.
I'm sure it'll be in the comments and someone will be like, hey, dummies, why didn't you remember blank? So
yeah, E, why didn't you remember blank?
I know.
Does that round out the list? Or you got one more?
No, that's number seven. We're going to go all the way to number 10.
Number 10.
So number eight. Guitar Hero 3 for the Wii, 116,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then numbers 9 and 10 are the two different versions of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon for the DS.
Okay, so that's the hardware and software MPD numbers, which are U.S.-based numbers only.
U.S.-based numbers only and not covering all U.S. retailers, but nicely represented.
Yeah, so it's not like the be-all and end-all. It's just it's a data point.
It's the best one we got.
Right, it's the best one that we have, so... All right, Eve, you have the news in front of you. What more do you got? Anything fun?
I do.
Okay.
Scientists find red team is better than blue team.
Really? Would you care to explain that a little further?
Yes. So I'm going to crib from our good friends at Joystick here.
Yes.
The scientific journal Cyber Psychology and Behavior has published the results of a research study finding that over the course of 1,347 matches of Unreal Tournament 2004, the red team beat the blue team 55% of the time. One neuroscientist reasons that the slight red team advantage may be psychological, as the color red could prove distracting to men, possibly because men flush and turn red when they're angry.
Whoa, what? You're kidding me, right?
No, I am reading this line for line and then jumping down a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, and this must have been a fun conversation. Acknowledging the findings of the research, Epic Games VP Mark Rain said they won't be changing the classic multiplayer colors of UT anytime soon. Wow.
All right, then.
Okay, then. Yeah, that's... I really don't have anything
else to
say on that.
If you think E should not be doing the news anymore, send me an email, major@xbox.com, for stories like that.
I think that's a great story.
It just kind of falls apart at the end there.
It's
a great headline. It's just you start reading, you're like, what is going on here?
It really should be an RVB cartoon.
All right, so what else you got? You want to talk about what's released this week?
Before we get to that, we made an announcement about what's coming out next week.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two more Xbox originals on the way.
Yes, they are.
They are Spyro, and actually I should give the whole title because I think there were a couple Spyro games.
Right.
The Legend of Spyro, A New Beginning. And Guilty Gear XX Pound Reload. I think that's how you pronounce that.
I think that's exactly how you pronounce it.
It's the one with all the nice shift characters in the title.
Those are going to be available Monday, which is, depending upon when you're listening to the show, either is going to happen or will happen shortly. It's going to be available for 1,200 points for download.
Wait. It is going to happen or will happen shortly.
Right.
Yeah. Or possibly has already happened.
This whole time-space continuum thing, because since this isn't a live show...
It's very confusing.
It's very confusing because we don't know when people... Because people are listening to the show like I did on Bioshock now. You know, the one I did last August, they're just starting to listen to it. I mean, as we say in the business, my podcasts have a long tail.
Okay.
Think about it.
Have I ever said that? I don't think so.
No, I'm saying it. So so those titles will be available Monday, June 16th for 1,200 points each in pretty much all Xbox Live regions.
So could someone please add that to Major's Wikipedia page, please?
What?
Larry says, my podcasts have a long tail.
They do. They do. The speaking of, you know, I post all, up on the blog, I post a lot of times I'm posting what's available on Marketplace, and there's a little bit of confusion. I'd like to take a moment and clear that up.
Okay.
You know, when I post, I say that this content is available in Xbox Live regions.
So do you really think your explanation is going to clear it up for anybody?
I hope so, but you know what? I have hope for the internet. You know I do.
Okay.
I have hope for the internet.
Well, somebody should.
So the when I post that content's available in, you know, all these Xbox Live regions or Xbox Live regions, and people complain, well, hey, I can't download this content in Brazil, or I can't download it in Portugal, or it's not available to me in Russia. You're right, because those aren't Xbox Live regions, unfortunately. And even when content is free, there are rights and distributions associated with it, so we can't make it available in those areas.
Nicely done, and all from memory too. I'm impressed.
I was reeling that off because I've been thinking about that a lot this week, and I have it in my notes that there's a lot of people needed to have that clarified. Well, wait a minute, it's not available in my region. Correct, because your region isn't an Xbox Live region. It's not that we don't want to have Xbox Live in your region. Yes, just we haven't been there yet, and hopefully we'll bring it to your region.
Yes.
Now I'm probably going to confuse people even more.
I think stop there. That's good.
There's a Dark Sector demo available up now. This game came out last month or the month before. That's available for all Xbox Live regions.
Right.
And that's available for free. One thing I post each week is the top 10 list, and COD4 continues to trounce people. Now, it was interesting in that list that you just read, COD4 was not there. The NPD numbers.
I think that may be that. I mean, they've sold 10 million plus copies. Everybody already has one.
Right.
So unless people suddenly decide that, you know what, I like Call of Duty so much, I need two copies.
Right, right.
I think they're good for a while.
So I posted that top 10 list. I posted each week, and it's COD4 is the top game. Halo 3 is 2, GTA 4. Bad Company, Battlefield Bad Company demo is there at number 4. And I've been playing that a lot.
That's impressive performance for a demo.
It's. Have you played the demo?
I have not.
It's a lot of fun.
The demo I've been playing, I am completely addicted.
Which is? Oh, I know.
Civilization Revolution.
Oh, God.
Well, I love that game.
You
it is brilliant. Yeah. Not only is it Civilization, and Civilization is amazing.
Right.
Always has been.
Right.
But it is a phenomenal translation of Civilization gameplay to a console.
It's very good.
The interface is great.
Yep.
The look and feel is great. It is a brilliantly done.
Are we going to play against each other on live? I want to point out, I was thinking about this. You and I have not played against on live together or against each other in, I don't know, since I think Christmas.
It hasn't been that long, but the last month or two, I've been on a serious single-player streak.
Okay.
So we'll get to that. We'll get to what I'm playing in a little bit, and you're going to cry. Couple other things we should throw out.
Yes.
Gamer Chicks. They are 2 years old.
They are, and I'm actually going to have Trixie and... maybe Sarah from the Gamer Chicks on maybe next week to talk about that.
Okay, excellent. So congratulations, girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the full announcement in front of me. I looked for it, couldn't find it.
Yes.
Maybe you have it handy. But we made some very cool RPG announcements.
You know, I don't have those handy in front of me, and I'm a completely... Let me just pull those up
here. I've got part of it. So a couple different things were announced. There was Star Ocean: The Last Hope coming out for 360.
Right.
And it wasn't exactly clear whether it's exclusive, it's timed exclusive, but for now it's 360 only at least.
Okay.
So I know a lot of Star Ocean fans who played them on PS2, so they'll be excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Tales of Vesperia, I think I pronounced that right, is on the way, coming in August, I believe.
Yep, August. It's going to be available in Japan August 7th, 2008, and also available in Asia shortly thereafter, apparently.
Okay. From Square Enix, Infinite Undiscovery.
But wait a minute. Before we get to that, I think the Tales of Vesperia, there's also, if you're in Japan, there's going to be a Tales of Vesperia premium pack. It's an Xbox 360 bundle with the game included that's only going to be available in Japan.
Now, didn't that one have like some cool graphics on the console?
I'm sure it did. I don't
color
know.
Color scheme or something?
I don't know.
They get some very cool limited edition hardware stuff.
Yes, they do.
Remember the Crystal Xbox?
I do.
I never did get one of those. Those were awesome.
Look like an Xbox larva.
Because it's going to hatch and turn into Robo-Godzilla?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I suppose technically I should have said Mecha-Godzilla.
So, yes, thank you. What else you got?
So, Square Enix Infinite Undiscovery.
Yes.
Do you have any idea what that means?
Infinite
Undiscovery?
Infinite Undiscovery. Well, that was announced last fall.
Right, but they announced a release date.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
September 2nd in North America, mm-hmm. September 5th in Europe, September 11th in Japan.
Okay.
Nice work on the localization to get it out that quick in all those places.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Was that the end?
Well, we got Fable 2 coming to Japan later this year, Mass Effect coming to Japan later this year. We talked about Square Enix, or what do you call it?
Squinix,
right.
Yeah.
Infinite Undiscovery, just talked. Last Remnant. Launched first in Xbox 360 and later on the PS3. So yep. Last Remnant. It's going to be launched in the US, Japan, and our friends in. Now, do you say EMEA or do you just call it Europe? Because I know a lot of people refer to the term EMEA.
If I'm talking to work people, it's EMEA.
Yeah, because
sometimes that slips out and people ask me, EMEA, what are you... And then I have to explain.
Well, it's a term that people know on the internet. You know, Europe, what is it? Europe, Mediterranean, Eastern Asia. I'm just making stuff up right now.
Europe, Middle East.
Africa? We're going to look it up.
Don't email us.
I'll put a link up. But
See, if you hadn't said what you thought it stood for, I think I would have been okay. But you led me off the golden path, and now I'm...
Completely confused.
Yes.
All right. If you don't have anything else, we're going to probably stop down now, and I'm going to bring Chris Kramer in from Capcom. You want me to dial him up?
Chris Kramer from Capcom. Yes. Dial him up.
Since we're talking about Japan, he's going to tell us all about the cool stuff they have.
Joining me from Capcom down in sunny San Francisco is my good friend Chris Kramer. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Larry.
Hey, yeah, last time we had you on was back in February. I was looking back in my archive, and so I said, we need to get you back on again, because you've had some pretty good announcements recently.
Yeah, we just had our big kind of media summit in Las Vegas 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I got to say, I've been in the games industry for quite a long time now. I've done a lot of different kind of media events and Gamers Days, et cetera. But not only was this the best one in terms of content, but it was also one of the most kind of interesting and, dare I even say, fun kind of media summits.
Why was it different?
Well, what I think might be interesting to your community to know is that for the first time, Capcom actually brought out members of our own community.
Wow.
We actually flew five of our most active community members out to our event. So for the first time ever, it wasn't just a whole bunch of jaded media journalists like standing around drinking drinks and, you know, eating hors d'oeuvres and heaping scorn upon every game that's come out. But we also had five folks just right off the community. We had actually a really good combination of people. It was a lot of fun, and it was really interesting. In fact, the media guys were digging on it, too, because they're like, oh, I can't believe you guys flew out a bunch of forum kids. We're like, no, these aren't forum kids. These are literally, like... you know, our VIP community guys at that
right.
point in time.
Yeah, I mean, that's great news, because it's so great when you've got that separate level of folks that are there. You know, you talked about the media, and they've done this a million times with a bunch of different publishers, but when you find the right people in the community that are really, positive, they give you positive and you know, the right kind of feedback, you know, the criticism where it's due, and then the positive notions where it's due as well. So that helps a lot.
Yeah, and it's also fun to see people at a media summit who are like actually kind of starstruck a little bit about meeting game developers and
right.
you know, meeting people in the company. And you know, one of the funnier things I saw was that one of the people we brought out is a woman who runs the biggest Ace Attorney fan site on the internet, and she was actually talking with one of our producers in Japan who's also done a lot of localization work. And one of the big things he did was he actually did the original Objection for the Ace Attorney games.
Right.
And so they actually got him to leave a voicemail on her mobile phone. So she now has, you know, the guy who did the Ace Attorney voice yelling Objection as her voicemail.
That must have flipped her out.
Yeah, I think that pretty much made her entire week right there.
So let's talk about some of the things that you guys announced down in Las Vegas. Yeah. Since you know, apparently my invitation got lost in the mail.
Oh, Larry, you know you're always welcome to join us.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're leading up to E3, and we're just heads down. We're working on a lot of cool stuff, but I want to talk about your stuff. Let's talk about those announcements.
Well, we had a whole bunch of 360-related announcements. Of course, you know, the big one for us this year is Resident Evil 5. You know, hands down, I believe in 2009, that is going to be, you know, the Grand Theft Auto 4 / Metal Gear / you know, fill in the blank,
right,
of 2009. And based on the magic show that the producers put on around that title and the reaction it got from the people who saw it, once people start playing this game, man, they're just going to lose their minds.
Are you, you know, with the Xbox 360, which is, you know, and the PS3, you know, there's new gamers coming onto these platforms all mm-hmm. the time. Explain, you know, I have a lot of new listeners, so I'm going to ask you to give us a little Resident Evil 101.
Sure.
So I'll go way back and kind of walk us through the series, and then you can bring us right to what we can expect next year.
Right. Well, you know, at its core, Resident Evil is the primary example of the genre called survival horror. This is a genre Capcom pretty much not necessarily invented, but certainly refined with the original Resident Evil that was released way back in 95, I believe, if I have my old man cap on.
If you have your Resident Evil facts and, you know, properly stowed away.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure someone will correct me on the internet if I get it wrong.
That was actually a PlayStation 1 title, wasn't it?
Yes, that was. Okay. That was one of the first big third-party games to come out on PlayStation 1. In fact, the original Resident Evil was the first PlayStation 1 game to sell 1 million units.
Wow, okay.
So, you know, this is obviously, for Capcom, this is a very huge franchise for us. It's a very big game. It's all about you versus unending hordes of very, very unhappy creatures and infected people, usually trying to eat your brains mm-hmm. Or really ruin your day.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil 5 is taking the entire Resident Evil series and ramping it up. So it's putting players in a brand new setting. It's taking players to Africa, following all kind of the threads that have been long developing through the Resident Evil series, and taking players to sort of like the center from where the original virus that these evil scientists kind of manufactured back in the first game, where that virus originated from. And so the hero of the game is Chris Redfield, who longtime RE fans will know as the original Resident Evil main hero.
Sure.
Chris has come to Africa to kind of trace down this virus to find out, you know, where it's come from and what's going on. And what happens is he stumbles into this small city that is essentially being besieged by this evil infection. And in fact, if your listeners haven't already, they should jump over to Marketplace and download the brand new trailer that mm-hmm. just came out within the last week. They'll get a much greater sense of kind of what we've been hinting at and what it's looking like so far, where the direction in terms of game story and gameplay is going.
I think it's also important to point out is that, you know, you talked about it. I'm just checking out Wikipedia, and it was 1996, so you were pretty darn close. So, internet people, get off his back.
You know what it was is I actually worked at Capcom back in '95,
uh-huh.
and the original Resident Evil was one of the first big games I worked on in PR. So, in '95, we were doing all the
you were getting ready
PR leading up to it.
Right. So that's what stuck with you. But what I wanted to point out was that this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you will, this is the first time we're going to see Resident Evil, any form of the game, on the Xbox platform.
Correct.
Which is huge news. I mean, it's going to be on the Xbox 360. It's also going to be on the PlayStation 3. But the fact that we're getting Resident Evil 5 on the Xbox 360 is pretty damn big news.
Yeah, for some really strange reason, Capcom had signed a deal with Nintendo to put the Resident Evil games on the GameCube, which really, considering the average audience was for the GameCube, really didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense.
That's a head scratcher in hindsight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But course correction here in the year 2008. We're aiming RE5 for the 360, definitely, and. You know, it's there, and once you see it, you'll see why we're doing it on 360. You know, the high-definition visuals, the amount of characters we've got running around on screen, the detail in the environments, and a lot of the other cool stuff that hasn't really been seen so far.
Right. What can we expect for live?
For live, we're not quite there yet.
Okay.
We've got E3 right around the corner. So you can expect some more announcements from Capcom regarding Resident Evil 5 at E3.
Got it. All right, so I'll let you off the hook with that. And it's always tough when I start to do these shows in the weeks up leading to E3, because everyone clams up because obviously they want to hold all the announcements. So
exactly.
I respect that. So we talked about Resident Evil 5. What are some of the other announcements coming out of Las Vegas out of your event?
Right. Also, right before the event, we announced that Street Fighter 4 is going to be coming home.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be coming to the 360. So I'm sure you've been following the rebirth of the Street Fighter phenomenon in the U.S.
Absolutely.
Over the last couple months. It's pretty amazing. People are really ready for another Street Fighter game. You know, it's been a couple of years since the new Street Fighter title, and really the reaction from fans and from people who have played the game on very test locations and from the media, it's been so overwhelmingly positive. Mm-hmm. We're all kind of blown away here. People are really excited by the way it, you know, even though it's a 3D game, it still feels like Street Fighter.
So it's still got some of the classic 2D feel.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, the graphics are 3D, but the gameplay is still 2D Street Fighter.
Right.
You know, basically the production team, their goal when they set out was to use Street Fighter 2 as sort of like the foundation of what they were building on.
Mm-hmm.
And try to evolve some gameplay elements out of that while kind of staying true to the feel of the Street Fighter 2 series. And it really, you know, the biggest compliment I've heard given to the game so far is I heard a guy talking to the producer, Ono-san, and he told Ono, he said, man, this just feels like Street Fighter. And, you know, as he said that, there were, like, stars and hearts coming out of his eyes.
Of course, yeah.
but, yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And, of course, you can expect that when that comes out on the 360 to have lots of live elements on that.
Yeah, I know, you know, people are going to love that. And it's just great to have that classic Love franchise back.
Yeah, it's great. You know, sort of all the characters that people would expect from the Street Fighter 2 series are in the arcade game. There are a host of new characters who are actually really interesting being added on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the developers have already been hinting around that perhaps the arcade roster isn't the final roster as far as the home versions will go.
Got it. Okay.
So they've been hinting around that players on 360 will probably see more characters popping up than they see just on the arcade version.
Stay tuned.
All
right, so that's cool. So we got those out of the way. What else you got?
Yeah, we
also, I mean, because your list is huge, and I want to make sure we give the proper attention here.
Yeah, sure. And you know, another title that we really showed for the first time is called Dark Void, which I think will be of interest to Xbox fans, because
mm-hmm.
not only is this the first game that Capcom is sort of co-developing in the Western market, but it's actually being developed by the former Crimson Skies team. So it's a new dev studio called Airtight, and the majority of that studio were guys from the old Microsoft Game Studios days who created the Crimson Skies games.
Which was, I know you played it, and we played a ton of that in the original Xbox.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That, you know, I love those Crimson Skies games. You know, the one that came out on the original Xbox was fantastic. It was one of my favorite kind of live games as well.
Well, it was one of those games where they took this difficult concept of flying,
mm-hmm.
and they made it fun and easy, totally approachable.
And you know, those guys are really genius at giving players freedom of motion in kind of 3D space,
right,
without overwhelming them with complex controls or you know, just things that are hard to understand. And really, Dark Void is taking that to the next level. Dark Void is a game that centers around a character named Will, who kind of crosses into this area called the Void, essentially through sort of a Bermuda Triangle-like transition. And Will begins working with a band of similar exiles in the Void, trying to get back home to Earth. And they're working against a group called the Watchers, which are sort of these robotic alien creatures that are intent on crossing the Void themselves and conquering Earth. So this is running on the Unreal 3 engine,
okay.
So it looks beautiful. And although it's a third-person game, it's not, you know, your typical third-person Unreal Engine game. This isn't just, you know, another Gears of War game.
Right.
What separates Dark Void from any of the other Unreal games is that this game is all about freedom of motion. You've got a jetpack on your back. The jetpack allows you to do a couple things. You know, obviously you can kind of like jump and hover around. But sort of the big implementation in terms of the combat level design is what they're calling vertical combat. So, you know, it's funny, I was reading the MTV multiplayer blog today, and Steven in New York just saw it on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And he kind of described the vertical combat as, remember the old Batman TV shows from like the 1960s?
Of course.
So, you know, Batman and Robin would climb up the side of the building.
Even though they were like walking, it was like vertical.
Yeah.
It was
exactly. So imagine that perspective, but you've got a jetpack and a gun. So you're literally looking up a 300-foot cliff, and you're moving from outcropping to outcropping. You're actually jumping and kind of diving for cover and using your jetpack to kind of jump up. It's really cool, and I've never actually seen this in a 3D game before, the way they're implementing this vertical combat.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that sounds really fun.
Yeah, it looks really great, and then, you know, you're moving very quickly, and you're kind of hiding, ducking for cover, popping out, shooting at guys who are above you, and you can also kind of jump up to the platforms that are on and reach up from underneath and pull guys off and send them spinning to their demise. And then there's also, in certain parts of the game, once you get your jetpack upgraded, you'll actually be able to launch yourself and fly, mm-hmm. and that's where kind of the Crimson Skies feeling comes in, because all of a sudden, you know, you, the player character, are now, you know, the flying object.
Right.
And it's pretty awesome because you're jetting around on this jetpack, and then you can also kind of, you know, fly over and jack aliens out of their UFOs.
Which is always fun.
Yeah, it's always fun. And the cool thing is that the mechanic isn't just, you know, get close and hit the Y button.
Right.
You actually have to go, and when you try and take over one of the UFOs, there's actually a mini game that involves maintaining your grip and also moving around the UFO and kind of bashing open panels and tearing wires out and stuff like that. You essentially have to cause enough damage to turn off the defenses on any vehicle before you can jump in and grab the guy and smack him around and throw him out. So there's a little more to it, and it makes it a lot more exciting.
It sounds like there's some action there.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool, you know, because this whole time you're working your way around the outside of a UFO, kind of smashing at panels.
Right.
It's also shooting at you while the UFO is kind of careening through the air at high speed.
Right.
So there's a lot going on, but again, like you said, the airtight guys, it's the same thing as Crimson Skies. It's got that feeling of a lot of things happening, but you're not overwhelmed. You're not like having to hit multiple buttons or, you know, do strange joystick combinations.
Well, I kind of like that when you're flying along. You can, like, remember you push it, click it on the sticks, and it would do like a trick move. So,
right.
But I look forward to seeing it. It sounds like, you know, I'm glad that you guys got that team. You scooped those guys up, and you're able to put them to work. And it sounds like the game's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. It's shaping up very well, and you know that game is still a ways off. That's going to be later in 2009.
Right.
You know, already these guys have it up and running, and it's playable and it's fun, and they've now got a long time to kind of like, you know, innovate and polish on the game.
Now, Chris, normally I have a policy on my show where I don't let PR folks on my show because I want to talk to product people. But I've known you for a long time, and you're what I love about you, and you have a blog, and I'll link off to the blog as well. I mean, you do such a great job with the community. But what I want to talk to you about is, you know, you talked about you were working back in Capcom back in 95, 96 for the first game, for the first Resident Evil game.
Mm-hmm.
Has it surprised you? I want to stop for a minute because I have it in my notes. I want to ask you this.
Sure.
Has it surprised you what the internet has done to gaming? Because obviously back in 95, the internet as we know it today didn't exist. It was a much different way of communicating with gamers.
Oh my God. It's very funny. When I first started doing kind of games PR, when we needed to send screenshots to magazines, our, you know, Capcom Japan actually sent us transparencies that we would have turned into slides, 35mm slides, like, you know, your great aunt would show you on her vacation to Chile or something.
Old school.
Yeah, and we'd have to send out these sheets of slides. And, you know, we'd get these in, and we'd get these little slides from Japan, and, you know, we're trying to look at them, you know, with a magnifying lens to see what was going on. And, you know, it was a pain in the butt.
Right.
And there was no way for us to talk directly to the fan base.
Right.
At that point in time, Capcom had, we called it the Capcom Craze Club, and it was like four of us working at the company. Every quarter would kind of put together a little newsletter that we would mail out to people. So, you know, we were trying even back then to do some kind of real early attempts at community, but from having to write a newsletter and physically mail it and put it in tubes and get it out to really being able to just outreach to people directly through the, you know, through our website and through our forums, it's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's come such a long way, and you've seen, you know, you've been in this business a lot longer than I have, but you've seen it just a change and evolve in such an interesting way. What would you tell somebody who's listening right now, what maybe they don't understand about the business of gaming? Do you know what I'm saying? It's because I'm sure you've seen, you know, a lot of the fanboys for, you know, either console fanboys or sure. title fanboys. You know, they've gone on and on about, but it's wouldn't you love to have these guys and girls come just work with you for a day to understand that we're not just sitting here making stupid decisions?
Well, I don't know if I could promise that if they worked with me just for a day.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, you know, anytime you have a business where the business is creativity,
yeah,
you're going to have this kind of friction between the need to run it as a business and the need to be creative. And, you know, you see this anywhere. You see this in the music business. You see this in Hollywood. You see it in television. Anytime people are trying to do creative things, trying to be interesting, trying to provide entertainment, trying to say something, anytime those people also have to report to the folks who make sure that the books are balanced and, you know, the lights are staying on.
It's the end of the day. It's a business.
Yeah. So that is the thing. At the end of the day, it is a business. And, it doesn't sound interesting to say that. But, you know, a lot of the times, because you'll read stuff on the forums and you'll get guys who are, you know, platform specific or like, you know, dear company X, why do you hate my platform? Because clearly, you are not releasing this game in 1080p for my game system.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a TV that only does 720p, you know,
right.
I am very dismayed by this. You know, I will never buy your products again.
Yeah.
Sign the internet.
Yeah. PS fanboy.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You know, there are people who can get a little carried away, but you know what? It's the passion that honestly, that makes it interesting. That makes it kind of interesting to interact with people
mm-hmm.
on the forums and with the community. Because, you know, a lot of the times, you know, most of my days I'm spent in meetings or, you know, sending emails and stuff like that. So it's always good to kind of do a reality check and actually go out and look at what people are saying. And, you know, the people who are actually interested in your products and are buying your products and are playing your games over and over and over again. You know, it's like, you know, why did I 2 months ago have some guy who over the weekend decided to send me 175 of the same messages, which was pleading with Capcom to make Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Right.
Like literally, like one Sunday, my email box just overflowed and my mail server shut down. I'm like, what's going on? Some dude had just, you know, he decided that Sunday that it was very important that he convince Capcom to make Marvel vs. Capcom 3. So I don't know if he set up some sort of like auto mailer program or something, but it was a long day of deleting messages.
And it's probably not the right approach with you, Chris.
Well, you know, I suppose he was operating from a squeaky wheel gets the grease, but
right.
actually what he got, the squeaky wheel got the bozo filter on
yeah.
that particular instance.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't mean to like, totally sideswipe you with that question, but I've,
no.
you know, somebody who's been in the business so long, it's just fascinating to me how we've seen this business in just the past 10 years evolve in such a way, just in
yeah.
terms of the communication and the fanboys. And to your point, I absolutely love the passion around our product and what we do. And it's great. You know, you're right. Just like you, I'm spending my days in meetings and you know, doing this interview with you is like the highlight of my day right now, because I get to talk games instead of
right.
like the planning, like for the E3 and all the other stuff I mentioned earlier. And it's great when you get to go read the forums and there's the boundless energy and passion is just something that will never cease to amaze me.
Right. And, you know, and that's why, you know, we're very active on our forums and, you know, with our blogging and stuff. And we're trying to just open up a dialogue directly with our users. And,
right.
And I think we've done a very effective job with it over the last year and a half.
No, you guys have done a fantastic job since you've been there. Just seeing the way you guys have moved the needle with the blog and the forums, and then of course you got the great IP and the games to back it up, which always helps.
Right. But, and actually, speaking of the forums and the blog, coming by the time this podcast is on, when you go to CapcomUnity.com, it's going to look very different.
Oh, really?
For the past 9 months, we've been in the process of not just redesigning, but rebuilding our entire community. And what we're doing is we've built an entirely new back end that allows us to give our users pretty crazy amounts of freedom on our site. When you go to Capcom Unity, it's now, for each user, it's going to be a combination of Flickr plus MySpace plus Facebook plus forums.
So it's all the social networking stuff mashed in together.
Yeah, we've turned it into a serious social networking hub for Capcom fans. I mean, we're allowing users to upload a serious amount of video and images and stuff and share that amongst themselves and. As well as host their own blogs through Capcom Unity, start their own you know, kind of online groups and forums. It's been an immense undertaking, and we're finally like at the finish line of turning it live for users to get out and start poking at. And
that sounds great. So I'll you know, it's Capcom-Unity.com. I'll put a link to that up on the blog as well.
Yeah, and it's actually really exciting. We've got, you know, when people go there when they hear this podcast, we're sort of in live beta at this point.
Right.
And we're still going to be adding on a ton of new features. But, yeah, please, you know, anybody who's a Capcom fan should head over there and set up a profile and just start poking away at it.
And rock it Capcom style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a ton of cool stuff happening there. And through Capcom Unity, we're actually going to be doing a number of kind of community-focused events in real time this year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'm really excited about that we're working on right now is our Street Fighter clubs, and we're actually going to be putting a website live fairly soon that we're going to be sharing with just our Street Fighter community. And we're going to be going over the next 6 months through about 5 different cities in the U.S. and essentially setting up underground Street Fighter nights. And we're going to be essentially rolling into a town, setting up our 10 Street Fighter 4 arcade machines, a bunch of 360s running Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix,
mm-hmm.
and letting these guys just go at it like old school arcade style. You know, and you know, it'll be like free food and soft drinks all night long.
So it's a party.
Yeah, it is a party.
Yeah.
But it's a party just for our players and our community. I'm super excited about it. Our first one is it looks like it's going to be right after E3 in LA. And we've got like this cool location. Everybody who comes is going to get an exclusive t-shirt. We're just going to let people come in and play Street Fighter 4 and HD Remix and bang away at it. We'll have some, you know, some prizes and, you know, some mini tournaments and stuff like that.
That sounds like, will you let me know when it comes up, if it comes up to Seattle?
Yes.
And then, you know, send me the full list, and, you know, obviously you'll have it on Capcom Unity, but I'll make sure I post it over here as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I think, you know, knowing sort of where the hubs of our hardcore players are, that's where we're going to be focusing our events as well.
So we got way off track, so let's get back to the games that you guys talked about. I'm sorry, man. We just kind of wandered here, but that's what we do on the show. I'm sorry.
Let's see. For us, our big, you know, our 4 big titles this year: Resident Evil 5, we talked about, Dark Void, which we introduced, and of course Street Fighter 4. Sort of our fourth title in the mix is Bionic Commando, which is our new iteration of the classic 8-bit game. So we had a new version or some new levels of Bionic Commando at Captivate 0808 as well, and the team was starting to talk about multiplayer plans and how on live you'll be able to have like 8-player matches. So imagine Halo, but with the ability to shoot a grapple hook at someone and actually pick them off the ground and whip them around.
That's what I'm talking about.
Or, you know, shoot your grapple hook at, like, a car and smash the car into another player.
Right.
Or, you know, grapple actually into somebody feet first and kick them off the, you know, edge of buildings and stuff like that.
And this is not 8-bit, you know, graphics. This is like this is real deal HD, the whole routine.
Oh, yeah, this is true next generation. This is the game's being developed by Grin, who are in Sweden. These guys are amazing. Not only are they a bunch of hardcore Viking partiers, but they're also a great development studio. They're a lot of fun. They're all super dedicated to the Bionic Commando project. And in fact, they also are doing Bionic Commando Rearmed, which is the Xbox Live Arcade kind of reinvention of the original game.
Yes.
That they sort of did that game just kind of out of love. The Rearmed is actually using the same engine they created for the next gen title, but they just kind of went back and redid the original game and just sort of updated the graphics and updated the music a little bit. So
right on.
Yeah, and that's going to be fantastic. Rearmed is going to be hitting on Live Arcade kind of probably later this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be, you know, that'll be well worth the $10 you pay for that, or the, you know, 800 points you pay for that.
Right, depending upon what the conversion rate is.
Yeah.
So you talked about arcade. You actually shipped, this past week, you shipped a new arcade title. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we sure did. Wolf of the Battlefield, Commando 3.
Okay.
This was just hit on live on Wednesday in the afternoon. Doing very well already. People have been pretty excited about it. This is a continuation of an arcade series that Capcom started way back in the 80s. Capcom did Commando and then Mercs. And we've actually picked up from that series and created this new one on arcade. And this is your classic kind of top-down arcade shooter where you know, you're the dude with the gun and you're constantly marching forward destroying other dudes with guns,
among other things.
Yeah. lots of machine guns, lots of flamethrowers, lots of grenades, and it's co-op too, so three players can play together and kind of, you know, run the game together. There's also vehicles, so, you know, one person can drive and other guys can, you know, run the minigun on the side or shoot out the side. And it's a lot of fun, and it's got that sort of classic arcade feel to it while having, you know, obviously high-definition graphics and, you know, a much more stylized look.
Right.
And, of course, the big news for live players is that, you know, if you pick up Wolf of the Battlefield, you're automatically enabled to get involved with the Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix beta test.
So let's just be clear. If you purchase the full version of Wolf of the Battlefield Commando 3, then this is going to get you access to that. How does that work? Because some people I saw online over the weekend have been confused.
Right, yeah. I think there was a little confusion because I think people were expecting, you know, probably the same sort of thing happened with the Halo 3 beta back last year. People were like, hey, I bought the game. Where's my Halo 3 beta?
Right.
Well, the code for the Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix beta is going to be available on live starting June 25th.
Okay.
So what we're doing right now is we're getting people, you know, people are kind of signing up, purchasing Commando 3, and we're getting everyone kind of live enabled for all that sort of stuff. Code is already in. It's been approved, and so we're angling to have it out in 2 more weeks.
And how will that work for people when they purchase it? Does something pop up in the menu, or just for people that haven't been through the experience?
To be honest, I haven't seen the UI, but they've told me it's been fairly obvious. It'll be much the same as when the Halo 3 beta was available through Crackdown.
Right. It's just this little thing started glowing, and of course, it's not so much that it started glowing as that the internet went afire. So,
yeah, I more than likely people will know when it's ready because they'll be hearing about it.
They'll be hearing about it.
But yeah, I think the code's just going to be available on live, and you'll just be able to download it and activate it if your account is already tagged.
And I will make sure that I post and get further clarification on that. So as we get closer to that date and when it's available, I'll make sure that folks know.
Yep, just 2 more weeks, and everybody will be good to go. And the beta will be Rue and Ken as the 2 selectable characters, and they'll be able to go through and test all the online modes.
Right.
So they'll be able to test out tournaments and kind of like the one-on-one quarter matches and stuff, be able to get in there and really kind of bang away on our net code and make sure that the game's optimized for its final release to, you know, actually... You know, we kind of want to avoid some of the issues we had with hyperfighting.
Right.
And make sure that, you know, we're not dropping and that there's not really the sort of kind of delay or connectivity issues.
Yeah, and it's tough when, you know, when you open up a beta like this, and since this is a beta, obviously you'll have thousands and thousands of people participating. Mm-hmm. You can never duplicate that in a lab.
No,
you know,
can't.
It's really tough to do, and that's, you know, people don't understand that networking's hard.
Yeah, I mean, 10 smart people programming are not going to be able to replicate what 2 million crazy people
right.
do once they start gaming.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of a truism with every game out there. And it's this beta portion is, you know, integral to the game design. It's, you know, we need to make sure that this game is, you know, delivering the Street Fighter experience online for people.
So cool. So people check out Wolf of the Battlefield Commando 3, and it's a free demo. And then if you decide to purchase it, that's your ticket into the Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix Edition. Can you come up with a longer name for that, by the
yeah,
way?
Yeah, I know. It's good funny because I realized as I was talking to you about it, I was dropping like actual names or words from the title. I'm like, it makes me tired just to say it all. So we usually call it Super Turbo
right.
or Super Turbo HD.
SSF2THDR.
You know, it doesn't even go down that easily.
Yeah, you're right. It's tough, man. All right, well, listen, I'm going to let you roll. I appreciate you hanging out with us for about a half hour or so and just telling us what's new in Capcom land. We're going to see you. We'll see you at E3, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I look forward to seeing that. And again, I really appreciate you coming by, and we're going to, you know, I'm going to make sure I put a link up. We'll keep a watch on capcom-unity.com for your update. And of course, that's where your blog is. And I'll put a link off. And now, you know, I'm going to ask you this. What's your gamer tag?
Gamer tag is Crames Live.
And I'm going to make sure I put a link off to that, because I think last time I had you on, you got deluged with messages, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Got a bunch of new friends immediately.
So there you go. So look for Crames Live. And Chris, once again, always a pleasure. And we'll see you at E3.
Cool. Thanks, Larry.
All right, thank you, Chris Kramer. Good to have him on the line, and we're going to see what they're going to roll out at E3. And I need to get invited. You know, you and I need to get invited to some of these events. He was talking about the one they did in Las Vegas, but, you know, we're busy.
And we weren't invited.
And we weren't invited.
Or at least I wasn't invited. Yeah, so. I don't know if you were.
Well, Chris, anyway, it's always good to have Chris on the show, and he's welcome on. I had him back in February and talking about Devil May Cry, and here it was again, so thank you.
A game I need to get back to.
You know, why don't we talk about what you're playing?
I was so busy doing GTA 4 prep.
Right.
I don't think I... Yeah, I didn't get to DMC 4. I need to go back to that. I want to play that one. So I'm playing a couple of things right now. Civ Revolution, the demo.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's
over and
great.
Over and over and,
well,
and over and over.
Because it's a demo. It's, you just get into it, and then it's like, by the way, this demo is going to end soon. Pick up the full game.
When does it end? By a certain year, you know, because you're doing, it's like 100 years a move or something.
So there's four different, no, it's not 100 years a move. So there's four different ways you can win in civilization.
Mm-hmm.
There's domination.
Mm-hmm.
So wipe out the other civilizations, be the last one standing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a technology victory,
mm-hmm.
which means you get, you know, you're so far ahead of everyone. Hey, you build the spaceship, you take off to Alpha Centauri, you win.
The goal is to get to Alpha Centauri, really?
Yes. Okay. And then there was a game, Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri,
right,
that
which
was
picked
about,
up.
Yeah. Great game. Then there's the political victory.
Right.
Basically, you subjugate the planet to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the fourth one? And of course, it's not at the tip of my tongue.
I did make a fatal mistake because I did not play a lot of Civ.
That's the fatal mistake right there.
I don't know why. But what happened was, so I played the game and I'm like, I was feeling pretty good about myself. You know, so I'm playing the game. I got my troops. I got an army together, you know, three or more, and I'm doing my thing. I'm like, Rome. Yeah, I can take Rome. I got obliterated. I got completely obliterated.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Oops.
So the entire Roman army came after me and just took my troops out. So I
excellent.
Lost.
I actually, last night, I ran into my Civ 2 CD.
Right.
And I was like, ooh, I've got a computer right here that doesn't have Civ 2 on it. Yeah, it's so scratched, it's unreadable. I'm going to have to try and buff it and see if I can recover it.
Maybe we should put an all call out there. If anybody has a used copy of Civ 2 that they'd like to sell to E.
It may come down to that. I'm hoping I can straighten mine out.
Right.
But
buff it out and
do all your things. It looks like it might be recoverable, but it was one of those where, you know, I popped it in the drive and Explorer just sat there and spun and spun and spun, and it was not going to let me at the files on the disk.
So what else you playing?
I am playing quite a bit of Earth Defense Force 2017.
Oh.
I know.
Why?
I told you.
What are you doing?
This was going to make you cry.
What are
you
doing?
Well, I've finally decided that, yes, I do want all the achievements in that game badly enough to replay it 5 times.
Okay.
Once for each difficulty level.
All right.
So I've finished it on normal. I'm well through on actually both easy and hard. Then I'll go through hardest and Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about that game, but we started talking about it, me and KP and some other friends, and I'm addicted again.
All right.
So it's a good bargain bin game. I think it's down to $19.99. Definitely worth it if you're into kind of B-movie sci-fi.
Right.
What else am I playing? I finally got started on Ninja Gaiden 2.
Yum.
Did not get far into it, but definitely enjoying it so far. It's exactly what I expected.
Right.
Hard, you know, Ninja Gaiden action.
Right.
And that's always appreciated.
Okay.
Lego Indie.
I played a little bit of that.
I need to, you know, just dedicate a block of time and really get through it.
Can I talk about my Indiana Jones thing for a second?
It's your show.
No, I have to tell you, I was so excited.
Okay.
Late last week, I came home, and my TiVo found and suggested Indiana Jones. It recorded Raiders of the Lost Ark in HD.
Nice.
I was out of my mind. Of course, now it was on USA, which in the network in the United States, it's commercials.
Right.
Which is okay, because your TiVo, it's next, done. But, oh, boy, it's good.
I love the original Indy. That was brilliant.
Boy, Harris, and especially after just seeing the other boy, he just, you know, he looks so young in that one.
Well, what, 20 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. So it was more than that.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, that was my Indiana Jones. Continue.
Okay.
Continue.
Because
I want to talk about what I'm playing, because I want to talk about this. Waving a game box around in your face. We'll talk about that in a second.
DS, I spent a little time on my DS the other day, actually. Went and picked up, Mystery Dungeon Shirin the Wanderer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for people who know what roguelike games are, I'm a huge fan of NetHack from way, way, way back. So for our listeners that have no idea what I'm talking about, going way back to the day when like terminals that could do ASCII was really pretty impressive, Rogue was a very simple game where like if a you were being chased around the screen by ASCII letters, like all the bad guys were like capital A, capital B, things like that. And the dungeon was randomly generated. So every time you played, it was different. And you moved around with the
cursor. That's what random means.
And, yes. Thank you.
Parenthetical R&D.
Yes.
What's the random number generacy? I know that.
R&D or R-A-N-D.
Right.
Yes. And so it spawned a whole series of games that are called roguelikes. NetHack is one of the best known, the one I spent the most time with. But basically, these games are all traditional dungeon crawlers. You kill things in D&D style. You take their weapons, their armor, things like that, and try to win the game. This is a graphical roguelike for the DS.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really cool.
Okay.
So pick that up and just got started in that, but I can tell I'm going to lose a lot of time to that.
I'm playing the Battlefield Bad Company demo.
Yes.
Completely enjoying it.
Are you playing it with anyone or just...
So there's a single player and a multiplayer.
Okay.
And I went through the single player a couple times already. And the multiplayer, I'm playing with a couple people from work. I played with my next door neighbor. Some people from the community we played this week. Because I ready the squad up. So it's kind of like the party system. And the squad thing is kind of cool. And I'm just having a lot of fun with that. But for God's sakes, it takes like 2 clips of ammo to kill somebody in that thing. It's like... And I can't...
Really?
Yeah, that's one thing I'm noticing, so...
Is that regardless of weapon, it feels that way?
Or? I think it's me.
Well, that's entirely possible.
I think it's user error. So I'm playing that. What else? Oh, so this is what I want to talk about. Is I've got my copy of Metal Gear Solid 4 here.
Now, I have not seen that yet.
It's been on the screen behind your face while we're recording.
Well, okay, so I've seen the you died screen and the cutscenes. I haven't played it. How about that?
So I'm, you know, it's getting great reviews. I'm not going to do a game review of it because that's not what I do. But I'm going to say that it certainly looks interesting. I need to spend more time with it.
Right.
And if you like Metal Gear Solid, I think you're going to love this game.
Okay.
And I think you're going to love this game if you're into that. I will say this, it's doing, like I said, it was doing very well. Metacritic, you know, I've seen 80s, 90s, I've seen 100s. It's doing really quite well. So it's great that there's apparently a must-have title on the PS3.
I did fire my PS3 up the other day.
Yeah.
I got some Blu-ray movies from Netflix.
What'd you rent?
So the one that wasn't Blu-ray was I got Appleseed.
Right.
So I talked before about Appleseed Ex Machina, which is the high-def anime that came out last year. It's really, really good. So I got Appleseed, the original one, so that we could watch them together back-to-back last weekend. And then I just watched, I think it's The Contract, Morgan Freeman and John Cusack.
That sounds familiar.
And it was actually a really good movie and looked great. I mean, movies in high-def, regardless of whether it's Blu-ray, HD DVD, Video Marketplace in HD, just that's the way to watch stuff. Just like indie on, you know, catching that on USA.
I can't figure out, and somebody asked me this on Twitter, if it was an upscale. I don't think it's an upscale. I looked at it, and I don't think it is an upscale.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because as soon as I saw this on Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, as soon as I saw that on HD, then the first thing I'm doing is I'm going through all, because usually when there's like one in the series, there'll be a few more later on, like the next day or something. Sure enough.
Let me catch it.
Right. So the Temple of Doom and Last Crusade, those showed up, but Raiders of the Lost Ark never showed up again, except for this one time.
Ooh.
So,
good thing you grabbed it.
Yeah. So I grabbed it, and I've got them all sitting on my TiVo, and I'm pretty damn happy.
Very
about
nice.
That. I'm feeling good about myself. So what else am I playing? Battlefield. I went through a ton of games this week. I played NASCAR.
Oh, that's right. NASCAR 09 came out a week ago,
this week.
Okay. I'm
turning left.
Over and over and over again.
And I'm turning left again.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, very high speed turning.
And for all of our NASCAR fans, we're sorry. We just don't.
I love the passion those guys have in that product, man. Those NASCAR fans, I love that stuff.
Well, it's a lot like soccer.
Mm-hmm. Which
personally,
I love.
Personally, I'm not a huge soccer fan, although I did go to the Canada-Brazil match a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I have anything against soccer. I'm not a huge NASCAR fan either. I prefer Formula One, but doesn't mean I have anything against NASCAR.
So that's, I played NASCAR. I played Kung Fu Panda.
Was a great movie.
Which was fun. Oh. I know you enjoyed the movie, the game's fun.
I actually was thinking about playing the game last night, but I fired up Ninja Gaiden 2 instead.
Why?
But
those are very different games.
They're very different. But Ninja Gaiden 2 has been like waiting for me longer.
Right.
So I kind of, I got to get to it. I got to give it a whirl. But Kung Fu Panda, yeah, that was a funny movie.
I played the Hulk.
Ooh.
So, playing through that.
I'm hoping to catch that later today, actually.
Yes.
I want to go see that movie.
What else? So I've been having a good week. I really enjoying the Battlefield Bad Company demo. I'm excited to have that out.
That's coming out pretty soon. That's July?
Yeah. Yeah, that's coming out pretty soon.
So July, we've got Battlefield Bad Company.
Right.
Civilization Revolution. Hoo-yah!
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I have to disclose something, though.
Okay.
So my wife decides she wants to play Hexic.
Is she getting achievements for you now?
Let me explain. So she's like, oh, you know, out of nowhere. You know, it's one of those things, you know, and guys, you'll appreciate this when the spouse is just like, you know, I really want to play a game. Like, I was like, what?
Well,
my head spun around.
Unlike, you know, my significant other's a gamer.
Right.
Yours is not.
Right.
So this is out of character.
So I said, yeah, do you want to play Hexic? She's like, okay. So I fired up Hexic 2 for her. Didn't like it. On the 360.
Okay.
So I said, well, would you like to play Hexic? And, you know, here's a little trivia.
Wait, you started her with Hexic 2 and then moved to Hexic?
Correct. Okay. She wanted, for some reason, she liked the bright crystals in the original Hexic.
Okay.
So, so I fire it up and she's loving it. You know, it's interesting, you know, and everybody out there who has someone in their life who's a non-gamer, it's always interesting when you hand them the controller because they're looking at the buttons, they're looking at the screen, they're looking at, you know, we've all seen this.
It doesn't come naturally. Right.
So I'm sitting next to her and I'm showing her how to do it, and she's just having a great time playing Hexic HD, and she got me an achievement.
So, number one.
Right.
Good for her. I'm glad to hear she's gaming.
And that was why I just happened, and she ended up getting me the Flower Child achievement for 15 points.
I just like the fact that you've given up on ever catching my gamer score, and you're now farming it out to your wife.
That's not true.
Uh-huh.
That's not true at all.
You're still 2,000 behind me.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm perfectly happy. I am what I am, and I'm perfectly happy.
Okay.
But I finish games.
I finish games, too. am I doing right now with Earth Defense Force 2017?
How's COD4? How'd that finish up for you? How about Rainbow Six Vegas 2? You want to talk about that?
I have not finished that one either.
These are major, major blockbuster games.
There are games that I have finished.
So instead of that, so let me just be clear. Instead of finishing these two games, which actually did quite well for on many platforms, you want to play Earth Defense Force 2017 five times. I'm just putting things in perspective.
At the moment?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. Just
don't ask me to explain it. Okay. I like B-movie sci-fi. I'm enjoying Earth Defense Force.
So I'm playing, I'm looking forward to getting the final, I think final version of Bad Company is coming out this week. I'm really excited about that.
Cool. So, okay, that I'll pop it in.
We'll play that?
I will find time to hop in the squad and play.
All right, so we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that with some of the community. So we talked about Metal Gear Solid. Do I have anything else to talk about? Oh, I do. And this is the game right here.
Is it what I think it is?
Yes, it is exactly what you think.
It is.
So
let me just get it out there for everyone.
We can't even talk about this game yet because it's not out yet.
Do you know, I'm driving a certain someone nuts because just out of the blue, mm-hmm. every time there's like a silence,
mm-hmm.
I say the name of the game.
So this game is coming out soon. It's a movie tie-in.
It's a movie tie-in.
It's not WALL-E.
It is not. I can't wait for WALL-E.
I can't wait for WALL-E either.
We're already arranging. I mean, that's like 2 weeks out.
Uh-huh.
And we're already planning like the big get-together, get in line, go see it.
Speaking of WALL-E.
WALL-E.
We didn't talk about the Church of Steve had their meeting this week.
Right. I was like, what? Oh, gotcha.
So Apple had some announcements. Steve Jobs had some announcements down at WWDC.
Yes.
And they had the new iPods coming out, or excuse me, the new iPhones coming out.
Yep.
iPhone
3G. iPhone
3G, 8 gig. You going to get one?
I'm curious. I mean, I've said it before, not a big touchscreen phone fan.
Mm-hmm.
The one I've been wanting to play with is the HTC Touch Pro.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll take a look. Regardless of whether I get one or not, I'll give Apple credit. Looks like a really nice piece of equipment.
I love the way you browse the web in that thing. It is just seamless. God,
yeah, I've played with some friends' iPhones, and it's nice. I just, for things like text messaging and email, I'd rather have a keyboard.
So, yeah, so that was announced. They announced the store. There's some other things that came out as well, so... everyone's Ryan from Engadget, as usual. I love his coverage, so he went over and he spent some time with it. Mm-hmm. So Ryan,
I read Engadget's coverage.
You know, Ryan's a huge, huge COD4 fan. Huge,
is he?
Yeah, huge. Every time I see him, he's playing it.
Okay, I knew he was a gamer. I didn't know he was a COD4.
He's a big COD4 guy. So got to give some shout outs to him. We're gonna stop. We're gonna do Name the Game now because we have to.
It's what we do.
It's what we do. So here's the Name the Game sound from last week. All right, that was Name the Game for last week. You know what that was?
That was Grid.
That was the rewind sound in Grid.
Yes.
Which is one of the features we talked about.
It is, and I need to point out that I forgot to mention it, but that's yet another game that I'm playing.
Right.
I got to admit, not a big driving game guy, but Grid, two thumbs up. It's pretty, it's fun, nice game.
Congratulations to Willowing Wings. He or she grabbed a Turtle Beach headset.
Oh, and... thank you for not having any Elite Speak in your gamer tag. You're the first Elite free winner in weeks.
Yeah, so congratulations. You got yourself a Turtle Beach X1 headset. We'll be in touch with you to send that out. And that clears the deck for a brand new Name the Game sound. All right, I think you know what that is. Send me an email, major@xbox.com. That could be an Xbox 360 title, an original Xbox title. The only thing it's not, it is not a demo, because I don't do sounds for demos.
That's right.
And it's not this game.
It is not MGS4.
It's not Metal Gear Solid, because I don't do PS3 games. So send me an email, major@xbox.com. Congratulations, good luck. And then we're ready for E, because E does this feature called Xbox 101, where we tell you about an interesting feature that you may not know about regarding your Xbox 360 console. But before we bring Ian, we have to play his music.
Xbox 101, this time with E and Major Nelson.
Yeah. All right, Xbox Xbox 101 for this week. And I suppose we should say thank you to Lithion.
Yes.
I don't think he's eligible to win anything.
No, he's not.
Thank you.
No, he's not.
This is a great suggestion. So nicely done, Lith. For this, you want to be in your dashboard, because what we're going to tell you about is how you can tell a friend about a demo.
Okay.
So we've been talking a lot today about demos we've been playing, Civilization
yep.
and Battlefield Bad Company.
Yep.
Here's how you can get your friends to download them so that you can play with them. Go to the Games tab on your dashboard and go into Games Library.
Make sure you're signed into Live.
Yes. Since this involves Xbox Live, it will really help
just as a little
if you're signed
PS
in.
There. Okay.
So once you're in Games Library, go into My Games.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is where you get to use what we call the twist.
That's that thing across the top that says all games, arcade, Xbox, demos, recently downloaded.
That's right. So you go three to the right.
Oh, and there's also a new entry there. Did you notice that? Apparently, it says demos recently downloaded, recently played, and Games E hasn't finished. Maybe that's my special version of the 360. Continue. I'm sorry.
That would be your special version, yes. So you go to the demos section of the twist.
Yes.
And you pick your favorite demo, in our case, Civilization Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And you press A, and you get a couple of options. Play game, downloads, and tell a friend. That would be downloads, but if I actually hit the right button...
Yes.
You go into tell a friend, and you get to send the message. In this case, it's check out the Civilization Revolution demo at Xbox Live Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
The guide slides out, and you can now put in a gamer tag.
Or your friends list will show up there.
Yep, and you can select a bunch of people and say, hey, all you guys, check this out. And they will get in their Xbox Live messaging tab a message saying, hey, so-and-so wants you to check out this game, with a download button right there.
So just click on it and away. You can do that with pretty much, you can do it with arcade titles, demos, all sorts of cool stuff. So that's a really good Xbox 101.
Yes, nicely done.
So the reason I did that is that we talked about this one is because Battlefield Bad Company, I was looking for people to play, and I sent you one and Lith one. He's like, you know, you should talk about that, because he's like, what is this message I got? I don't think he's ever gotten one.
Gotcha.
So... thank you. That actually was a good Xbox 101A. Hey, you want to talk about something else here? Check this out.
Okay. Oh.
Do you see what I picked up?
Yeah, I have strong opinions on the subject.
One of the things I created a little internet storm this week is I asked a very simple question. And that question was, I put this up on my Twitter. Internet, Red Vines or Twizzlers?
But you didn't ask the question properly.
Why?
It should have been Red Vines,
mm-hmm.
Twizzlers, or Nibs.
Yeah, I'm sorry about my friends North and Nib fans. So I brought these in, and maybe we'll eat these later.
Didn't someone at work send you some of these?
What happened was, is I was talking about this on Twitter, and somebody, boy, these smell sweet. Oh my God. I'm getting intoxicated with the sugar. Somebody from across the company, apparently a lot of people here at Microsoft read my Twitter and my blog, and they inter-officed me Red Vines.
That's
so
awesome.
So all of a sudden, this package of Red Vines with a note attached to it, and I don't have the note here.
Oh, but they're the black Red Vines.
No, he sent me the red ones.
Oh, okay. You ate those already?
Some people ate those.
Oh, gotcha.
Where do you fall on this, Red Vines or Twizzlers? I want to ask you.
Nibs. Nibs are far superior to Red Vines or Twizzlers.
E.
Yes.
Red Vines or Twizzlers, not Nibs. You only have two. This one or this one? Which one? I know what you're going to say. You're going to say Red Vines.
It depends.
No. Oh, God.
No, seriously. What kind of movie am I at? That's actually going to matter. Because this is movie food. I'm not going to
eat this
outside of a movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. So is Red Vines for a bad movie and Twizzlers for a good movie? What does this mean?
No, it's just, it depends. But... seriously, those are for movies. I only eat those at movie theaters.
Right.
Nibs, I eat at home when I'm playing Halo.
Red Vines or Twizzlers, I'm going to ask you again.
Give me one of each. I'm not sure that I remember which is which, to be honest with you.
All right, so you go open them.
Licorice.
All right.
I can't open them and hold the microphone. You're the one with a mic stand.
All right, so here we go.
So, once again, Major has changed things on me.
Yeah, we have. We can talk about that while I open these up.
So we have a new recording... thingamajig.
It's for those of you that were wondering what it here.
Okay.
I purchased this new recorder, which is unbelievable. It's the Eterol. What is it? It's the R44, which allows me to do 4-channel audio.
Okay.
And it is just a great little recorder. So we're recording that for the first show this week because I like.
So that's a Red Vine.
That's a Red Vine. Here's your toy.
But I'm on a handheld mic and I don't have a stand. And
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Twizzlers.
Thank you very much.
Gotta go Twizzlers.
I must say, man,
there's something about the shiny plasticness mm-hmm. of it that makes it look unnatural and yummy.
That was a backhanded compliment.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to talk about the stellar graphics in Earth Defense Force 2017, but I'm playing it over and over again.
So I fall on the side of Twizzlers. Now, I've noticed that Red Vines and Twizzlers is an East Coast, West Coast kind of thing.
It is, but I've lived on both. And as a kid, I lived on East and West Coast, so that may be why I'm off-center sometimes.
So that's why I was actually thought I would have bet you were going to go with the Red Vines.
Well, the one thing that Red Vines are definitely better at, have you ever made your own cherry Coke at a movie or at a baseball game? You get the giant Coke, and then you take your licorice and shove it in the Coke and let it kind of dissolve in there, stir it around with a straw and drink it. It's good stuff.
I also have these.
Rainbow Twizzlers.
Rainbow Twizzlers, which have strawberry, orange, lemonade, watermelon, blue raspberry, grape. And as always, it's a low-fat snack.
Excellent. Now, one interesting thing is nibs apparently are starting to spread out a little bit. Because mm-hmm. I got a text like 2 days ago from a friend down in Orange County saying he had a bag full of nibs. So
this has got to sound gross. I'm sorry, people.
So you should tell the one last thing and then we'll shut up about licorice. The Twitter cloud thing, whatever the heck that was that you sent me. You should explain that. That was funny.
There's this site, and I'll have to link off to it if I can remember. It was a Twitter. It's a site that basically harvests Twitter and picks up keywords and says what people are talking about on Twitter at that moment. And Twizzlers and Red Vines were right at the top of the list during this question,
which is amazing. I love the fact that you can like derail that entire community like that.
I grew up on the East Coast, so I go towards the Twizzler. So I'm having this discussion with my sister, who still lives in New England.
Okay.
I said, Sue, so let me tell you about this. I'm telling her about it. I said, so what side are you on? She says, oh, I like Red Vines. And I was like, out of my mind. I'm like, what? It's my sister who we grew up together. We lived in the same house. We ate the same meals together. So I'm trying to figure out why she's on the side of Red Vines.
Right.
But anyway, either way, these black ones are pretty good.
See, I don't like the black ones at all.
Really?
No. I've never liked black licorice of any brand. It didn't stop me from finishing the one you gave me, but I don't like it.
My sister, so you know what her response was, much like yours. I said, which do you like, Red Vine? She said, Red Vine, but what I really like, Panda.
What?
There's these really expensive licorice you get at like Whole Foods.
Okay, now we have to go down the street to Whole Foods.
So they're in a box, and it says Panda.
Okay.
You'll know if you saw.
Did you see their... Wow, we're really going into left field, but they're now carrying some of the really exotic chocolates with stuff in them. Like the Vogel? I'm blanking on it. My friends are going to kill me for forgetting the name of the brand.
High-end chocolate, that's all we need to know.
Yeah, anyways, these guys make chocolate bars with everything from, you know, espresso to peppers to different kinds of nuts to chocolate bars with bacon in them.
Oh, that's good. Oh. Anything with bacon is good.
Yes.
So
someone who works here.
Yes.
She brought in maple bacon cookies last week.
Those are good.
Those were so good.
Now, we're going to be done talking about this. I just talked about the new recorder. It's the Eteral R44.
Okay.
Which I'll put a link up to that. Which is
sounds like a giant fighting robot.
But look at that thing. It's tiny. It's delightful. It's
Yeah, but does it transform into something large that's going to like shred me into pieces? It looks like a transformer.
Yeah, it kind of does, actually.
And you have your back turned.
No. Yeah, so it's gonna turn on me one day. What I want to talk about now before we wrap up the show is I talked about this at the beginning of the show is Deadliest Catch is a game on the Xbox 360, exclusively in the Xbox 360, and it is being released this week.
Tuesday the 17th,
if that's the date. And so we talked last week. I had Sid on the show. You know, you came down for the interview. And we talked about doing a meet and eat. And he's actually going to do something even better. Sid is going to be at the GameStop in Redmond on Wednesday the 18th.
Wednesday would be the 18th.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday the 18th. He's going to be at GameStop number 4444.
Is that the Redmond Town Center one?
That is the Redmond Town Center one. It's right in Redmond Town Center. So it's Redmond right outside of Seattle here. So Seattle folks, you're going to have to schlep over to the east side. Everyone else in the country, I'm sorry. If you want to come in here, I'll post this on the blog probably Monday or Tuesday.
Cool.
But listeners are getting a little heads up here is that Sig and Edgar from the Deadliest Catch are going to be appearing at the store, and they'll sign your game, you know, get photos taken with them, and they're going to hang out.
That's awesome. And
you and I are going to be there.
You're going to be there.
I can't make it.
I've got a previous commitment, and I really wish I could show. Unfortunately, I won't be there, but say hi to the guys for me.
So we'll be down there. So that is this Wednesday, the 18th, at the GameStop in Redmond Town Center, which is store number 4444. And I will put a link up to that. I believe it's going to be like 7 to 9 at night, or I think it's 7 to 9. I'll put all the times up on the blog.
Cool.
So if you're in this, you can hear my voice and you can get in a car, come on over to the Redmond Town Center on Wednesday. I'd love to see you.
Ride a bike.
I'll be down there for a little while.
Or Segway.
There's a guy with a Segway around here.
Yeah, I see him all the time.
So that's kind of the big news. We're excited about that. And I'll finally get to play Deadliest Catch this week, which you're going to play as well.
I'm looking forward to that one. They're getting close to the end of a paleo crab season on TV.
I got to tell you, man, this Deadly Kiss, guys, I have to go down. I'm going to shoot a video, and I'm not. That's all I'm going to say. There's one final video I'm doing for Inside Xbox, and that's all. I can't tell you any more about it. It's just going to be completely different.
Okay.
It's going to be very interesting.
They're going to pull up a crab pot with you in it?
I'm not going to say anything. So.
Okay.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show now because we're really at the end of our rope. E, do you have anything else you want to say before I...
We're at the end of our licorice?
The end of our licorice. God. And we're recording the show before lunch, so we're actually really, really hungry.
Hey,
now,
it's
so.
Father's Day. I can have all the licorice I want. All right. Have a great Father's Day, everybody.
Have a great Father's Day, everyone. And I want to thank our friends at Centricom.net, providing promotional consideration and providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment, as well as our friends at CashFly for their caching services for this podcast. I'm going to wrap it up now. This is Larry here, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback.
Or file a complaint.
And we'll talk to you next time. And more importantly, thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Nibs, really?
Nibs are the bomb. Best licorice ever.
We talk about food a lot on the show. Do you know that? We're talking about bacon and the burger place and Twizzlers.
We're guys. We eat, mm-hmm. we drink, mm-hmm. we play games.
Mm-hmm. And there's girls in there, too. Women. Yes. Wives.
Well, not in here. We're in the right. Major Nelson man cave at work.
Right. Yeah, we are. So. It is a man cave, isn't it? I want to eat more Twizzlers.
We need more Twizzlers.
Mm-hmm.
We need more sunshine.
Yeah, you want to talk about that for a minute? I told you earlier in the show, I was talking to my sister back east. It was like 93 degrees. It was 48 here that day.
The news story I read the other day, and this might be out of date by now, but it was in the Seattle Times on, I think, Wednesday or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying that so far in the month of June, Anchorage, Alaska had had 6 days over 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle, Washington had had zero. Something is seriously wrong.
Anchorage, do we have any listeners up in Anchorage? Send me an email, major@xbox.com. What's it like up there? Maybe we need to move the show up there.
This is ridiculous. I mean, I'm a Northwest native. I don't mind rain. I don't mind clouds. But this year, it's even getting to me.
Yeah, it's driving you crazy. That's why my wife gets out of town all the time. She keeps driving her crazy, too.
Yeah. So, I it's confusing. But enough whining about that. It's going to get better. I can see it.
It is going to get better, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You got any gadgets?
No, I just bought this thing. This audio recorder.
Well, that's a work gadget.
Yeah, but that's the ultimate gadget. You know, I love my. You know what I want to do? I'm going to get a good shotgun microphone, and I'm going to go out into the, like, I'm going to do some nature recordings.
Oh, well, now that could be kind of cool.
You know, when it records, what I really want is record is the, like, the sound of, you know, what I really want, what they don't have in Northwest, which I miss desperately from the East Coast, was...
Panda bears.
No. When it was hot out, so I remember spending these summers in Connecticut.
Lightning bugs.
Besides lightning bugs.
I love lightning bugs.
Lightning bugs don't make any sound, awesome. So that's not going to make any sense. But there's that, they're the, I don't know what they're called, but they're, my wife and I call them hot bugs. Because they make the wee, they're like, I think they're like grasshoppers or they're cicadas or something.
Cicada. Yeah, I was going to say cicadas, but that's not an East Coast thing specifically.
No, so I don't know what they are, but they just, I miss that sound, and I want to, I'm going to go back East and record like an hour of that for my wife, because she misses that sound.
See, I hadn't actually really thought of this, but the weather has messed the life cycle of so many like plants and animals and things up here.
Right.
Normally at this time of year, it's really loud in my house at night because the pond behind my house is full of frogs.
Right.
And they're making a ton of noise. Mm-hmm. They're not making noise right now.
Why could that be?
I don't know if they think it's winter still or what's going on.
So yeah, I need to find a good place to go record. And I don't know what those sounds are, and I'll go look it up. But God, she misses those sounds. I want to give a nice recording for my wife.
Hot bugs.
She calls them hot bugs. And okay. Then there's the other ones, the companion to the hot bugs are, the crickets,
cold bugs.
The crickets at night, she calls them.
What?
Night bugs.
Night
bugs. So it's hot bugs and night bugs.
Okay.
So, we miss the sound of those hot bugs from those very hot, steamy summers on the East Coast.
I miss the lightning bugs. I don't miss the humidity. Humidity is not my friend.
Yeah, it makes your hair fall. Wait a minute. You don't have any.
See? Look what it did.
Look what it did to your hair.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna wrap it up here. So we may do a show for you next week. We may not. We're getting busy for E3. We're getting ready for E3. So, but we will have full, complete E3 coverage, which is going to be exciting.
Excellent.
So, all righty. I'm going to talk to you next time.